Susan as well, but he withdrew that. But I am going to appear just for purposes of ensuring that that is on the record.
Okay. What is this motion to compel that, Attorney Conrad is pushing? I have no idea what he's trying to compel.
That was against us. So he had filed the motion to compel against Susan, claiming that we didn't provide certain discovery responses. We subsequently did provide some responses, so that's why he has withdrawn that motion,
okay,
is my understanding. And then the order to show cause is against you relating to emails, and I just got onto this case a couple of days ago, so I'm not entirely familiar with the substance of that, but that's my understanding.
Well, I went ahead and... You know, I pretty well wrote something that was really, really, really contemptuous to Federal Judge John R. Adams, who is the worst judge on the circuit. I've been fighting with Brian Reel since 2010. He's not white and he's not heterosexual. He's been infiltrating the movement for... since before he got into high school. I went ahead and found his actual name, and he made an agreement. He made an agreement that he would leave, and I wouldn't write anything more about him, and then he broke the agreement. And he found out probably through Attorney Conrad, who sounds like an Antifa lawyer, about my inheritance. I live pretty cheaply here with, he used to live with my woman. Here in Granby, Missouri. And he found out about that, and he's been going after it ever since, and he has filed, I'd say, somewhat north of 20 lawsuits against me, my church, my woman, and the rest here. And initially he lost in federal court, then went ahead and filed it again in Lake County, and it went through about 3.5 years. And then he won in front of a extremely hostile Lake County jury who heard the name Aryan Nations and white supremacists. And he likes pretending that I've just decided to insult him for no good reason. I've been in white supremacy for 30 years and a spokesman for some of the more radical factions here for at least since after Waco, especially after Oklahoma City. So, in any case, he's won without benefit of a jury trial, without benefit of anything, just simply because the federal courts have been given him, by default, these judgments, even though he has not bothered to prove his case. He said that I said something. Then he goes ahead and files a whole bunch of motions. And he has other lawyers who were a lawfare group here. And this group was responsible for the Charlottesville 1.0 mess. And I think part of the 6th of January thing as well. So pretty much... I'm pretty well awash with Brian Reel material. I gave Susan, in October 2009, I was having my property bulldozed along with my, Roxy's property and my niece's nephew's property, and I actually thought of shooting these Granby City Council critters and their minions, but I decided to hold off here, and I went ahead and decided to transfer it for it to Susan, my South Dakota property. And, I really wasn't worried that much about Brian Reel. I thought the very first case, I thought that he would,
Hello? This is Mona from Judge Mayer's office. Who do we have on the line this morning?
Pastor Mark Linstead and an attorney for Susan Bestman.
Good morning, Mona. Yes, this is Sarah Baron-Huey, appearing on behalf of Susan Fessman. I'm here on the phone.
Okay, is there anybody else on the line? No? Okay.
I went ahead and drafted this morning a showing cause motion.
Okay. We're gonna put everything on hold until Judge Mayer gets in and starts the hearing. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, like I was telling Sarah. You know, there has been this litigation for years.
Okay, Pastor, we just need to zip it until we start the hearing, okay?
All right. Did you get that motion I sent this morning? I guess you have to zip it. Well. Past 10 o'clock now. It's 10:04 a.m. on the 9th of July, 2021.
Please.
This is in 58 CID 20-07 with Riel versus Lindstedt Investment. And what has been filed in the court were several affidavits in support of a motion for contempt or an order to show cause. And I want to first identify the parties, and then I'll explain how this will work today since I'm allowing a couple of you to appear by phone. So we can't talk over one another. My court reporter won't be able to take down what you're saying for the record. So last time we had a hearing, you were all very respectful to the court and one another, and I appreciate that, and it also just supports making a good record for each and every one of you. So with that, in the courtroom here today is Rob Conrad representing Mr. Rio. He is not present today, and on the other phone, one line, we have Ms. Baron Hui, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you are representing?
Susan Bestman.
Susan Bestman. And also on the line, we have Pastor Martin Lindstedt, and he is representing himself. Are you on the line, Pastor Lindstedt?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So we're appearing here with the permission of the court. In Hughes County, and I've allowed the parties on the phone to appear telephonically due to the distance of travel. Mr. Plaintiff was asking that you be required to attend personally, but I found that it was a hardship for you to appear as such, and we do have a pandemic, so that's why I'm allowing you to appear today in these important matters, okay? So what we're going to do here, since it is a motion by the plaintiff, they have the burden to prove these matters, and I just want to generally state what needs to be proven here in this matter. This is an action, I believe, for civil contempt, and the burden on the plaintiff is to prove that Pastor Lindstedt knew of an order. Basically, the order that the court had given was to use appropriate language and not use any derogatory language in any of the pleadings. And then he would have to prove that there was knowledge of Pastor Lindstedt knowing of that order, that he had the ability to comply with that order, and that he willfully or contumaciously disobeyed that order. That's what has to be proven here today, and if he does prove that, I will give Pastor Lindstedt an opportunity to respond to that, to say that he is not in contempt. I will also say for the record, I just this morning received from my court reporter, Pastor Lindstedt's 8-page response. I've been in court, but I do have that. I don't know if the other parties received that yet, but I did receive that, and I will take that into account today. So with that, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask Mr. Conrad to go first. Then I will ask Ms. Bestman's counsel to respond. And then, Pastor Lindstedt, I'll ask you to respond. And then, Mr. Conrad, you'll have another opportunity to respond. And then I'll make my ruling on whether or not there is civil contempt that has occurred here. And then I'll give Pastor Lindstedt an opportunity to see if he can comply with that. So, as I stated, you've all been filing. Technically, Pastor Lindstedt is not a responding affidavit, but he is pro se, so I'm going to allow that response. And I also want to indicate, Pastor Lindstedt, I want you to understand that there is a possibility that there could be imprisonment if you did not comply. So I just want to make sure before we get started here that you do have a right to counsel. And you could seek out your own counsel, or I could appoint one if you do not have the ability. I've advised you of the specific allegations in the motion in order to contempt that's been filed, and I'm just going to pull that up one more time to make sure that I've fully told you what they believe the problem is and why you are in contempt.
Okay. Before you proceed here, would I be able to have a jury trial on this matter?
You can have a jury trial if I decide that I am going to put you in prison for a period of time. There is a possibility of that, but there's some law out there that says that you're not allowed to have a jury trial on this for civil contempt. So I think for today's purposes, I can pretty much guarantee you that I am not going to put you in jail, but I'm going to probably, and I haven't heard your side of this. I'm going to hear both sides. If I order anything short of custody, you're not entitled to a jury trial, okay?
Okay. You know, like I've gone ahead and said in my motion, Brian Reels won a whole bunch of money without benefit of a jury trial.
I know, a second. This is specifically just on the contempt issue. So,
okay.
This is just narrow on whether or not you're in compliance with my order to use appropriate and good language. That's all we're here to decide today, okay?
All right, I have, you know, just like with the federal court and in Lake County, I have jurisdictional issues, i.e. that for all practical purposes, I don't think that these courts here, even though they're acting under color of law, have jurisdiction. But I simply want to go ahead and make those objections on the record.
Pastor, I'm going to allow you to have a standing objection to these proceedings, okay?
All right.
So you've made your point on that, and my court reporter is taking that down. And you have a standing objection to all of these proceedings in addition to today's motion. So you've protected your record there, okay?
Exactly. And if Mr. Conrad says something that I think is untrue, will I be allowed to make specific objections, or is he allowed to go ahead and continue with his narrative?
I'm going to allow him to speak, so if you have a notepad there, I want you to take notes.
Okay.
And then I will allow the other attorney to speak, and as long as everyone here is respectful to one another, then I will give you an opportunity to make your responses so I can hear what your position is on this motion or this order to show cause requesting that I hold you in contempt, okay? And I want to hear what all the parties have to say, including you. But since I'm allowing you to be telephonically here and my court reporter can only take down one of you, I want you to take good notes, and when you have that opportunity to respond, then I will carefully hear your arguments as well, okay?
So in other words, don't make objections. Simply take notes and then get back to what you are what I'm objecting to specifically. Is that pretty well your position?
Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm behaving myself so far, so let's just go ahead and continue then.
All right. Yes, you are, and I appreciate that very much. So, with that, I've explained to everyone here what needs to be proven and the process that we're going to use today. So with that, Mr. Conrad, and you got a copy of that as well, Mr. Lindstedt, that motion in order to show cause, it looks like, and you've responded to it. So for the record, I'm going to find that you did get a copy of Mr. Conrad's motion and that you have responded to those allegations.
The one of what, April 22nd, correct?
Let me look here. Yeah.
All right, it's what? I'm looking. If you end up hearing my computer make some sounds, it's 33 pages. The fact is I don't have very much money, and I'm using a cheap TV as a monitor on this old equipment.
All right.
So I'll try to go ahead and keep the thing moved enough to where it won't cut in, but it might. Okay?
All right. If it gets to the point where we can't hear at the parties, I'll have to tell you. You're right. It's the April 22nd, 21 motion order for contempt that was filed. So you've got that. So with that, you may proceed, Mr. Conrad.
Judge, before I start, I would like to just take care of a couple of housekeeping matters. There were two motions scheduled for today. One was the contempt motion, which you have been discussing. The second was a motion to compel discovery responses, specifically discovery responses from defendant Susan Best. I have spoken with her counsel, and I had filed 2 days ago a withdrawal of that motion at this
not be heard today. And you do have the ability to refile that if that problem continues with Ms. Bassman.
Your Honor, I'll keep my comments on the contempt fairly brief. The court has reviewed my written motion. We had problems early on in this case with continuous irrelevant emails, irrelevant pleadings, offensive arguments, essentially just distractions from the case, inability of Pastor Lindstedt to comply with anything close to the rules of civil procedure, and continuing to email the court long ranting emails, which are a pain because they're not part of the record. So I've been having to make them a part of the record because they haven't always been filed. So it makes the file a complete mess. That's the reason I believe the court entered the order requiring him to put his arguments in writing, in pleading form, so that we can have an accurate record because, as we already know, this has been appealed once and brought back. And I suspect it'll be appealed in the future. So I'd like to have a clean record, and I'm sure the court does too. And these middle-of-the-night, long-ranting emails that obviously include language in defiance of the court's order, I think should be filed in the court. So that was one of the reasons the court made the prior argument, or the prior order. The prior order, the court said, quite appropriately, stated with most people would take as common sense, but not Mr. Lindstedt, that any written statements or arguments in the court can't include profanity, sexual innuendo, comments about my client's alleged sexual orientation, blatant racist comments, threats of violence, threats of intimidation, comments regarding death, disease, death or destruction, or other arguments not relevant. This is a land dispute. This does not have anything to do with my client's sexual orientation or any threats made by my client. This is essentially a real estate file. None of those things are relevant. And I don't think it's too much for the court to ask that the parties conduct themselves accordingly. And like I said, common sense requires that when people come into the courtroom, they treat it like a courtroom. And this really goes to just the ultimate heart of the issue is there any respect for the court system or not? And rather than follow the order, which I have, because I promised the court that I've had at least one email that I've written in response to Martin, because I know I probably shouldn't say what's on my mind, but I have remained professional throughout the entire case. I think Ms. Bestman's counsel, prior counsel and current counsel has done the same, even though I'm sure there's disagreements about how Mr. Lindstedt has proceeded. So we have managed to abide by the rules, but Mr. Lindstedt hasn't. In fact, he's doubled down since the time that your order's gone into place. I pointed out just a few of them on page 3 of my motion. He refers to parties in the case as assholes. He refers to his co-defendant as a pussy. He uses highly offensive language. He makes jokes about bowel movements. He has referred to my client in the pleadings as a homosexual, a delusional homosexual mongrel more times than I can count. I had my paralegal go through this yesterday and start a list of just trying to come up with the number of times that he's violated. And we essentially ended up with 2 pieces of paper, and I'm not going to go through all of those. The court has seen the emails. Then he goes on to make threats generally about destroying the system and went so far as to say that the killing can't stop until either or both sides are destroyed. Now, those are probably generalized threats, and I don't have as much issue with those. But continuing to refer to my client as a delusional homosexual mongrel is just flat inappropriate, and it has no use or point in this case. And one could look at it and say, well, what does it really matter? Mr. Rio can take it. But the problem is, Your Honor, he's been taking it for better part point are approximately $1.7 million, with another million more coming. And so the cases are really at their end. But as the court can see, Mr. Lindstedt continues to berate my client, even though federal judges have told him that he can't. There's a standing order in federal court that says he's not supposed to engage in defamatory comments against my client, but he continues to do so. And the problem is, Your Honor, that nothing appears to stop Mr. Lindstedt from doing these things. It's clear from the court's comments today and the situation that Mr. Lindstedt's not going into custody today, and I'm not really asking that you put him into custody, because I don't think that's going to do anything. But I do think he ought to be responsible for the attorney fees that it costs to sort through all of the crap that he files with the court, because I have to decipher in each one of his rants what is actually an argument and what is just irrelevant, racist nonsense. And I'm tired of it, and my client's tired of paying for it. So I think you should be held accountable for the attorney fees that's required to go through his pleadings, to go through his rants, and for me to explain to my client why we have to just kind of continue to put up with it. So we've reached a breaking point where we're just done with it. And to give the court an idea of why it is important to take some sort of action is that Mr. Lindstedt apparently knows no bounds. He has, and I excuse the language, it feels awkward just saying it in court, but he has actually written to a federal judge in Ohio and dared that judge to lick out of his ass. That is the kind of, that is to a federal district judge.
Well, let's just deal with what's going on in South Dakota, please.
That's the reason it's important to look at it, because that's where it's headed. And that's what's ultimately going to be coming in your direction. And I know that because I've seen five other civil cases and how those turned out. So we want him held accountable. We want sanctions and an amount to be determined by the court. And we want an order prohibiting him from doing this in the future. And hopefully that will be enough to get him on the right track, and so we can actually get to the real issues in this case rather than getting bogged down in his racist threats. As you can tell, me and my client, just at our wit's end with this. I'll defer to my brief on the actual law here, which is we have to prove that there was the existence of the order. I've attached a copy of the order. The order is in the court file. Mr. Lindstedt actually attaches to his appeal argument a copy of the order, so it's clear on its face that he received a copy of the order and that the order existed. Mr. Lindstedt filed at 4:14 a.m. a response, albeit late. I would ask that the court file that with the court. In that response, he essentially argues that because he doesn't believe that the court has any authority, that he's unable to comply with it. So he admits all the elements of civil contempt in his response. So I don't really need that. He's conceded that. And even in his response to the court, just to show you how delusional this is, even in his fifth line of his response, he again refers to my client as a crazed homosexual mongrel in the fifth line, which is just daring the court to find him in contempt. So, look, I'm not going to tell you anything you haven't read. I would ask that you take judicial notice of all the affidavits that I filed, the affidavits of my client, and the pleadings that are on file with the court. And I'm going to ask that you find him in contempt, find him accordingly, sanction him accordingly, and award attorney fees.
I have a question about, since you brought it up, about the contempt in other jurisdictions. Were there motions filed within those lawsuits for contempt, and what was the remedy that the courts there imposed?
The motions,
if you know.
And I'm not counsel of record in those cases.
motion today?
We do not, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Lindstedt, just to, and do you prefer me to call you Pastor or Mr.?
Pastor Lindstedt, usually. I am, you know, from what I gather, I really am the only Aryan Nations pastor who is actually propounding both our racial religion and engaged in political activity. So right now,
All right. No,
Pastor Lindstedt, I prefer.
Okay. And I just want to be clear, and I will accept, you are asking me to accept the motion that came in late, or I should say early this morning, around 4 or whatever, as your response to this. Is that correct?
Yes.
You want me to consider that?
Yes.
Okay. And you also understood that you did have a right to have a lawyer. Are you wishing to, you're representing yourself now, but did you want a lawyer?
The answer is that I was confined illegally for 31 months to a house.
Wait a minute, sir. Do you want a lawyer or not?
I've already been punished, you know, with false imprisonment in a mental institution for
no
refusal.
Signal.
Excuse me.
For
refusal
control.
For refusal to.
For
refusal
wait
to.
Wait, I can't
turned
hear
on.
Anything.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I didn't move the.
Power off.
I didn't go ahead and.
Pastor, there's something with your computer. I can't.
Yeah, it is here. The, you know. What happens is that I've already been in, you know, unlawfully in prison because I would not accept a lawyer. I view that this system is satanic and that lawyers are the analog of Satan. And therefore,
okay.
I will not accept a lawyer either
okay.
You know, forced on me or offered to me or anything here because.
Okay, I wanted to, Pastor, I just wanted to make that, I'm going to take that as a no.
Okay.
And
but
I did
it's more than
advise you of what the allegations are. Just a minute, I'm going to let you talk, okay?
Okay.
And you've had time to repair, you did respond,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to treat your, if you want, your response as an affidavit in response.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the opportunity for you to call any witnesses if you wanted or to give your testimony to the court, and I'm going to allow you to speak, but I just want to make sure you understood those rights, and it looks like you have. Is that correct?
I don't think I have, for all practices, I don't think I have any rights, and I don't wish to pretend that I do. Like Attorney Conrad said here, it's a question of jurisdiction, it's a question of power. We just got off a so-called holiday here to say that when people had enough of the current system, they have a perfect right to go ahead and revolt and to change that system. And I definitely subscribe to that, to where like a Declaration of Independence can be a birth certificate of this particular country. It can also be a death warrant for when people decide they have simply had enough of that particular system.
Alright, well thank you for that, and now I understand that you know the rights that what I say you do have, you don't recognize them, and I accept your response to that. So now I would like to hear your response, sir, to Mr. Conrad's argument on whether or not I should find that you are in contempt of my order that we're talking about.
Okay.
As far as the appropriate language, you know, whether you had knowledge of that order, you had the ability to comply, and whether you are or you are not in compliance with my order. So I would like to hear your response to that argument. That's the only
sure.
thing we're hearing here today. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. You took notes there, so this is where I want to hear your response to what Mr. Conrad told me today, okay?
Okay. Mr. Mr. Conrad, of course, he goes ahead and he does finally get to where this is a question of respect for the court system. And the answer is, I have no respect for the court system. From what I gather, the Romans, after they kicked the kings out, had for about 50 years a court system or a common law system. And I've been in the movement, and I tell these idiots that this is not a common law. This is just simply something that judges have made up. And that is the system
we
have
now. I understand that, Pastor.
Okay.
And you have that standing objection to these proceedings.
Okay.
So,
well,
I don't need to hear that again. You've already explained that to me.
I'm,
so what I want to hear, assuming that you've heard his response to you being in contempt of my orders, did you want to respond to that and whether or not I should hold you in contempt?
Well,
finding that you're objecting to these proceedings. But on to the merits, you have
the
merits, an objection.
The
so
merits,
would you like to defend?
The merits, it seems like Mr. Conrad comes up with something, and in many cases you go ahead and rubber stamp it. I'm going through, pretty well, just like I told the federal judge, I'll get down to it. I did take notes here. Pretty much, he goes ahead and says, I've said about destroying the system, and that is what I've been working on for the past 30 years in the movement here. But in any case, he says that there were 6 lawsuits, and I would say there's more like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, I'd say there were 6 here. The very first one, he went ahead and lost here, and then he went ahead and replayed it in front of Lake County. Just like he did in August, he likes pretending that for no reason that I took upon myself to make fun of him and his family and, pretty well his associates. And Brian Reel, just like it's turning out with the FBI and the rest here, is that the FBI had informants on the 6th of January who were inciting
that.
Sure.
Yeah, I apologize to interrupt, but you've already explained all that to me. And today, the only thing we're doing here today is whether or not I should find you in contempt of my order. So
okay.
I have the history, and I have your position on that, and I understand that. And I just want to give you a fair opportunity to say why you're not in contempt of my order to
I'm
use
not,
appropriate language.
I'm not getting a fair opportunity. He went ahead and said, and what the federal judges have done is they've done away not only with the First Amendment, but using their interpretations of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, they have refused to make Brian Reel list his actual damages, which he has none. He could have, just like when I went ahead and detected him, and he was threatening while he was, anonymous. He's been a long-term, non-white agent provocateur. And
okay, another thing what I want to say, Pastor.
Sure.
I brought all of that history. You briefed that to me. I've read your documents.
Okay.
I want you to focus in on, did you know of my order? Did you follow it? And if not, did you have the ability to follow it? And
I make the point that
are you in contempt of my order? And if you are, do you deny that you're in contempt of my order?
I pretty well say is that neither of the federal courts here. I'm wanting to go through the notes here that I was taking here to go ahead and go through that here. Brian Reel.
Just a minute. Okay, I want to hear what you have to say, but you've already told me this. So for today's purposes, maybe I can ask you a question. Were you aware, and it looks like you were, of my orders to not use the language that were discussed in my order? Were you aware of that order?
I was aware. The problem is, is okay, that all this Brian, all this Brian Real litigation, essentially in Ohio, before Ohio judges and juries, is that they keep on pointing out that, you know, Pastor Linstead is a white supremacist and his Aryan Nations Church have said all sorts of bad things about me, whether it's true or not. And then they go ahead and do whatever they, you know, whatever they want in front of their courts. And the federal judge has done away not only the First Amendment, but the Seventh Amendment right to a jury trial and the Eighth Amendment. The Eighth Amendment of no excessive fines. These judges, these judges are not, you know, so the question is that then Brian Real comes to you, and just like on the 31st of August, he admits that I never said a word on my web, on my church web pages about homosexual incest or transgendered prostitutes. Brian Real's right, been saying that.
Okay, wait a minute, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Hang on. I'm trying to help. I know you're representing yourself. Mm-hmm. So what we're dealing today, I told you there that he had to prove four things today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that there was an existence of my order.
Mm-hmm.
You told me that I know myself that there was an order because I issued it. And
sure.
Then you just told me that you did know of the order and that's in the paperwork and you've responded to it. And you, as far as your ability to comply with that order, I understand from your brief you're saying you can't comply because you don't believe in the jurisdiction of the court or the system, and I understand that, and I'm taking that into consideration.
Okay.
And then the last thing that he would have to prove to me is that you willfully, or in other words, a big word, contumaciously, but you willfully disobeyed that order of mine to not use that language. And so,
well,
you've already agreed that you have the order, you knew about it, you have the ability to comply, but you are not because of the jurisdictional claim and the system that you are against. So I understand that part. And it appears that you continue to file and use that language.
You.
That in the order.
I thought
okay?
You said. I thought you said I could, it was to take good notes here, and I'm not even allowed to go ahead and make particular objections to those notes that I took here. Both Brian Real and Attorney Conrad, you know, Attorney Conrad say that, you know, they want to go ahead and rack up a whole bunch of judgments, you know, essentially to where They get to drag an Aryan Nations pastor 900 miles away to essentially an extremely hostile environment. And then, you know, pretty well do away with their precious constitution of, you know, not only First Amendment rights, but jury trial and no excessive damage. Not a lot, you know, Brian Real refused to go ahead and state what his damages was, and that's why he lost the first case, which was transferred to Missouri. And you want to go ahead and just make it nothing more than Brian Real and his attorney getting their payoff. No, pretty well, because there's a whole bunch of judgments in Ohio. And the answer is that by doing so, you know, the state of South Dakota and the people of South Dakota essentially are, you know, under biblical law, there has been a precedent to where, just like it in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they would go ahead and drag people on the caravan a half day away here, drag them in front of their courts, and then proceed to rob and murder them under color of law. And that was the sin of Sodom, for which Sodom and Gomorrah were, you know, and the other three cities of the plains were destroyed. And
right.
You know, Brian Real used to work at the nuclear power plant here, and he got fired, well, probably because of what was written on the webpage pointing out that he was pretending to be a great, you know, white supremacist.
All right, so you've got 2 minutes left. I'm giving you equal time to Mr. Conrad. I've been watching the clock.
Okay.
So if you could sum up for me, into account all of your pleadings, so I'm aware of everything you're saying, and you're wasting your time on the arguments of what's gone on in the past, whether or not I should hold you in contempt.
Well, the thing is that, you know, what has not been essentially addressed is that Robert Conrad, from what I gather, stole these confidential documents from the Olinger Law Firm. He felt so secure in his misconduct here, they actually gave me an Olinger Law Firm pen at the August 31st hearing. I don't.
We have 1 minute left. One minute left to summarize whether or not I should hold you in contempt.
All right. The thing is,
you disobeyed the order or not?
The answer is that A, you didn't have jurisdiction for the order, and B, I can't obey the order because essentially it's boiled down on what a evil white supremacist I am, you know, being mean to poor old Brian Rio, who for some reason, he's saying that I haven't, you know, that I've gone ahead and gone against him. So what this is that I can't go ahead and bend my knee to this system at all. You know, so what it comes down to is whether or not the people can go ahead and destroy this system if they get tired of it. And right now, you are, you know, pretty well part of the very system which is, you know, misusing the law or misusing your authority under color of law to do whatever you want while Brian Rio and his lawyer and his series of lawyers goes ahead and racks up case after case after case in Ohio looking for a payoff in South Dakota that Attorney Conrad more than likely made Brian Rio aware of. So essentially this is nothing more than legalized thievery. Now I can't after all this time, I can't go ahead and, you know, bow down to Satan because I'm worried that I'll lose, you know, my inheritance here. You know, I've already given it away to my sister, and she didn't know a damn thing about it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, she hangs up on me. She refuses to talk about the case. I didn't know a single thing about this motion to compel. You know, I have asked Attorney Conrad about it. I've asked you to go ahead and show the 31st August hearing. You know, pretty well, all I can do is go ahead and fight and hope that this system collapses and that the people who are, you know, behind it be thoroughly destroyed and then go ahead and work with the population to survive.
About 10 seconds. Okay.
I've pretty well said it time after time after time. But what you're doing is you're cutting me off from going ahead and giving the defense, saying I can't go ahead and respond a certain way, and that's the same way the thing is. You know, you're a white supremacist, but you can't go ahead and respond with white supremacist arguments because, well, you know, we don't want to hear them. And, you know, pretty well, this is just simply the very definition of kangaroo court.
All right. Thank you for that argument, and I think I understand what you're saying here. And with that, I'm going to take judicial notice of all of the file and the proceedings. And I do still say it was appropriate to allow you to appear by phone today, as it was a hardship for you financially to come to South Dakota and respond to this.
I don't have the money.
I don't want to mute you, but I want to get you my ruling so you can know what it is, and then we'll send you a copy of it, okay? So it's now my turn again to make my ruling after hearing all of the evidence and the arguments, and I will take judicial notice of all your previous testimony and comments at the hearings. The main defense that you are asking me to apply is that I don't have any jurisdiction over this matter or any authority to issue any of these orders and rulings. And so I'm allowing and giving you, of course, that opportunity to have the standing objection to these proceedings. And you've made clear with your record that you feel that you, even though you knew of the order, you knew it existed, you had the ability to comply and not use, as you say, that white supremacist language. You continue to use that. But your main defense appears to be that you cannot bend your knee to the system. In
other words, you can't willfully comply with my order, and that was your defense, and I understood and heard you loud and clear on that. So I am going to find that I'm taking all the affidavits consideration and all of the previous matters that were held before the court, and that I had issued the order that you had knowledge of it. You did have the ability to comply, and you willfully disobeyed that order by using the alleged language as was forbidden. You are waiving your right to counsel again. You don't believe in that, and you did not want to have counsel, and that is your right to do so. I am going to find that you did have the ability to comply. You can make your defensive arguments without that kind of language, and I'm going to find that the burden to prove this civil contempt and that burden, I believe, has been by clear and convincing evidence to the court that it has been met. And in addition to that, I am going to find at this point that there's not been appropriate response to that contempt or to the burden that has been met from the defendant. And therefore, I don't think it's appropriate at this time to order, even though you're not here, and I do have the ability to put you into jail until you comply. That doesn't make sense to me, and I've heard your arguments on that. You've already been jailed. That's not going to do any good, in my opinion. At this point, I do want to understand if future contempt orders are brought, that remains a possibility, and we'll consider that the next time. But what I'm planning on doing in this contempt order is for the contempt is going to be $100, but I am going to suspend that $100 for these contemptuous actions and disobeys of the court order. I'm also going to order that no language of this nature be used in any future responses, and if it is, it will be stricken in the sense that I'm ordering the clerk to put it in an envelope, and it will not be considered by the court any further. If you're a smart person on your legal abilities, and if you write up your responses in the future and then just block out those comments that you're very well aware of what the court was not accepting as appropriate commentary to the court, then you can submit that and I'll review it. But if we see that type of language and response in the future, the court will strike it from the pleadings of the record, put it in an envelope, and it will not be considered in the future. Now, that $100 that I ordered, I'm going to suspend the payment of that $100 if there's compliance with this order in the future. So you don't put that kind of language in your pleadings and your responses, you're not going to have to pay that $100. If the next pleading comes out and it has that $100 will be due and owing to the court. So with that is my order on finding that I think the defendant has the ability to comply with this order in the future. I do want to give him an opportunity to hear and to be heard in this important matter to him regarding the land at issue. I do believe he has the ability to purge this contempt in the future by not using the language. And if it continues, I'm ordering you, Mr. Conrad, to put in the order that those pleas will not be filed. They'll be put in an envelope and not considered by the court. And then that $100 will be due and owing. So that is my equitable remedy to resolve this. Lynn said, I'm trying to fashion keeping your objections in mind to allow you to be heard in these matters. I do want to hear what you have to say, but not to be racist, it should be put in a ladylike position the way your mother raised you to speak and your sister, just to be respectful. I believe that you have been respectful to me, and I have appreciated that, Pastor Lindstedt, and so I know you do have the ability to make your arguments to the court. You did so today without any kind of vulgar language to me, and that's appreciated by me. And so I know you have the ability to do that, so I can professionally hear your objections to any future proceedings. And so, as I stated previously, you have that standing objection to the jurisdiction of this court, but nonetheless, this will be my order, and I'm giving you an opportunity to not write your responses in the manner you have. I want to hear them, but without the commentary and the language. Obviously, what you stated today, you know exactly what the court is referring to that language, and you will put that in the order of contempt and my remedy for that contempt, that there will not be any further commentary of profanity, sexual innuendo, sexual orientation, no racist comments, threats of violence, intimidation or harassment of death or any kind of destruction, or any argument that is not relevant to the legal argument. He does have legal arguments sprinkled in there, and those are the ones that I want to hear. So if there are any arguments other than that, it will be immediately in contempt and will not be considered, and that is the remedy that I am imposing. So with that, Mr. Conrad, is there anything further from the court that you would need for today's purposes? I know you asked for attorney's fees for having to sort this out. I am going to deny it at this point, but what I will tell Pastor Lindstedt, if we have to deal with this again, and this will be another way for you to purge yourself from doing this, I will consider assessing the attorney fees for having to sort through and what you're really trying to make in your legal arguments, because all that other language is in the way. So I will reconsider attorney fees in the future on future matters, but for today's purposes, I wanted to give him an opportunity to know and understand that this is inappropriate. I know he knows so, but I think it's only fair to him to let him know that now there'll be some additional financial consequences down the road. And more importantly, I won't be able to hear his legal arguments on the issue because I'm not going to read them. And I don't want to do that. I want to hear what you have to say, but I want you to say them in a respectful manner, as I know you have the ability to do, and you make good arguments, but I can't hear them when it's got all that other language in it. It just doesn't make sense to me. So you need to respond in that way, and that way your rights are protected as well. So, Mr. Conrad, is there anything further that I am remiss in my order that is missing?
Judge, I would ask that you put some restrictions on how emails are handled to the court, that it should be filed in a meeting with the court, but I think the court would agree that the record is a mess when I have to continually file emails.
Okay. Pastor, if you would put a caption in your, instead of in an email format, you know, put the caption with the file number on it, and then put your response in that letter format, and then mail it to the clerk of court. I think that way you can protect your record and mail that to the clerk of court in the county in Stanley County, okay? And that's the thing. Emails don't necessarily get it in the record, and I tell lawyers that all the time. They call it, you can't litigate by email. So if you want to protect your record in the future, the best way for you to do that, especially when you don't have a lawyer, is to mail that to the clerk for filing, and that way I will get a copy of it as well.
Your Honor, do I have, is this order you made? Do I have the right to appeal it? Of course, yeah, I think I do, correct?
Once my order is signed, you have the, I can't give you legal advice, but you could appeal this order under those same rights as anyone else.
Okay.
Paying the appropriate filing fees. If you're going to do that, I will probably waive the filing fee with the Supreme Court again, but you won't be entitled to a transcript as it's a civil matter.
Okay.
So, but if you want that, I think the time frame for the appeal, and I can't get you legal advice, but once I've signed that order, you've got it. You need to file it within 30 days, and you would have to ask the court to tell me that you're indigent and you can't afford the filing fee. And then I'll make that determination on what your financial situation is,
wow,
on whether I would waive that. If it's the same as it was last time, I would probably waive that for you.
It's even worse now. It's even worse now, but,
all right.
Yeah.
I'll make sure legally that you ask that.
Okay. I will, I've been polite as I can be, at least to you, because rudeness would not, serve me well. But in any case, a lot of the stuff that I do is I go ahead and send it in front of my audience. And, pretty well the federal court said the same thing. How do you, it wouldn't look good for them to go ahead and bring an Aryan Nations pastor and jail him in Northeast Ohio. It just would not look good at all. And so, pretty well, I did apologize to Judge John R. Adams here, and he went ahead, and pretty well what the federal courts are doing is that they are winding the thing up to where I file a notice of appeal to the Sixth Circuit, pretty well stating this. What I will do is I will go ahead and read the order. I think you have way too cozy a relationship with Attorney Conrad. And second of all,
I have no relationship with Attorney Conrad or any of the attorneys.
I'm prohibited
from doing that.
You're having him draft, these orders or proposed orders. But in any case,
and I do that with all the lawyers, all of my rulings, no matter how I rule. If you would have prevailed, I would have ordered you to do the order. Okay, so it's usually the prevailing party. So
okay.
I don't want you to view that as me taking a side with him. I'm not. I am my own
I think you're trying to at least appear fair and uphold as best you can the legitimacy of the system when it is definitely coming under attack, by myself and others.
All right.
All right. I will more than likely appeal this. I don't think that this was a lawful order. And like I said before here, I just simply am unable to comply. But on the other hand, like you said, as well here, one of the things that you will do is if it contains a surfeit of language you don't want to hear, more than likely you will just simply refuse to allow it into the record. And so I will more likely have to work around that as well.
All right, and what I'm going to do, Mr. Conrad, is I want you to put in my order, Mr. Pastor Lindstedt's position, that he has argued to the court that my jurisdiction over this matter does not exist, and that I have not been issuing lawful orders, and he wants a standing objection to these proceedings, and I'm going to order that was his position today, and that in addition to that, because he has objection, he cannot comply with my orders. And I think that summarizes his position. So if you would put that in there, that he filed that brief, which will be filed today, and that was in some his response that I have considered, and I am not adopting his arguments, but that way the Supreme Court can summarize to see what his argument and what his objections are, and then you can put the rest of my oral order in there. And I'm directing you to do the order, and then I look it over to make sure that I feel that it has to contain what I think it does, and then I won't sign it until I agree with it. That is what I have ruled today. So, Pastor, with that, for future, please, if there's more pleas to come, you've got your computer there, type up your response in the way that I've now ordered would be appropriate so I can consider
I do hear you, and I will indeed consider it. Hail Victory.
Okay. Ms. Barron, Hui, do you have anything further for the record today?
I do not, Your Honor.
Mr. Conrad?
I don't.
All right, folks, you're free to go about your business, and take care. We'll be in recess.
Hail Victory.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Hail Victory.
To turn off the music, press 1.
It is 10 minutes after 11. It took about an hour. What she's trying to do is she's trying to be fair, but since it's an unjust system here. And I was relatively polite, you know, at least for me. I have no use for Robert Conrad. I certainly have no use for Brian Rio. But anyway, 10 minutes after 11, I think I videotaped it. I did go ahead and record it. And, yeah, go ahead. I think it went fairly well. Hail Victory.